CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkside Show, the radio show where we talk about comics. I was all worried that that was going to end early because it stopped for a second. Like, I'm not ready to come back on air. And that would have been the old standard college radio moment of awkward silence. My guest right now for the second half of the show is T. Edward Bach. Or do you go by...
Todd's fine.
Todd's fine?
I sign everything that way, but my first name's Todd, and everyone I know either calls me that or Bach, so it's whatever. I mean, yeah, it's fine. Todd's fine. 409 is fine. Doesn't matter.
409? Now, you've got the big thing, my favorite thing I've read by you is the thing you did for Bodega, the service industry. But you have something out from Drone and Quarterly in one of those showcases. You got something in the new Moam, and a whole slew of other stuff, not to forget the old Orchid anthology that came out many years ago from Sparkplug.
Orchid, yeah. And we're hopefully Sparkplug is going to publish the second Orchid, which I guess is kind of waiting in the wings as far as that goes, but Sparkplug it's like ultimate Orchid. It's like really pretty amazing. But I've seen some of the work in that, and it's an anthology, but it's also like a complete story with like every artist doing a different chapter. So it's pretty amazing.
The first one really blew me away. I mean,
it's a really nice little. I mean, that was their first book, and that was like my introduction to a lot of the artists who like are now friends, and I kind of knew about them, and we just had started to meet and everything back then. And like Jesse Rekla and Lark, who had done one story, Kevin, I had just become, you know, acquainted with Gabrielle, who I had met like in San Diego Con, like we were in a Kinko's printing. She was printing her mini comics. Like it's like 2001 San Diego Con. It was the first and only one. I may go this year. I probably not. But that was like the first one I'd ever been to. And you know, I was running some minis at Kinko's, and Gabrielle's like standing right there. And we started looking at each other's stuff, and we're like, "Oh, are you at this thing?" And it turns out we knew other people, including you know Dylan Williams and you know all those people. And I had met Dylan through Ben Catmull, Ben, who does Monster Parade and had done Paper Theater and stuff, mm-hmm. and other earlier stuff, the Puppy Toss stuff that they were all associated with in Berkeley. Like Ben, I had met originally in, oh man, like 10 years ago, I think. Ben was like the gateway drug to all this stuff. Ben and like I had met Billy Mavreis and
Billy's
Valium and oh man, the guy who did years ago at Den Rocktoberfest, I think the Don Salemi, I guess, was the editor back then. I met him, Danny Hellman, all these people like at the same SPX. And, like, it was really great. I met Michael Kupperman back then, too. And this was like years ago. This was like 10 years ago. These guys have no idea who I am. They're like, oh, that was that weird guy that was getting stoned with us in the hotel room, you know, like 10 years ago. But Valium was fantastic, and I had wanted to meet him. And so that was really nice. That was so many years ago. But Ben basically was the first person I had met, and he and I were, you know, talking with each other, and like we liked each other's work and stuff. And Ben's, you know, he's a phenomenal artist. So everyone I know is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that
very lucky.
It's really neat. Like I keep telling people to read, especially the Lasky story and that the Raven, which is like.
Oh yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to see his stuff. I'm like, when's he going to be done with that, you know, that Carter family thing? I just saw him recently, and I was like, when, you know? But he's always still just cranking away at it.
He's one of the unsung heroes of the Pacific Northwest.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
His stuff is gorgeous, and I think if anyone deserves one of those big New York contracts, it's him. Now, service industry, I'd read it when it came out. I didn't read the mini comics, but I read it like when they sent it out. When it came out, was that last year?
I think it was 2007.
A couple
originally,
years ago.
Originally, like we had done, Dylan had helped me print, do self-published ones, and then we did those, and then I was like, you know, I was talking with Randy and, you know, Randy Chang, Bodega Distribution. I was like, Randy, you know, I would like you to publish this. And he was like, all right, cool. You know, it was like, he wanted to do it. So, you know, and then we started talking about the size, and it was much smaller, the original size. I had done a version before that was actually like, I don't know, like it's really hard to find now because it was really a self-published thing that was actually the early strips, and it was like the first actual service industry, which was a silkscreen cover I did with Zach Soto down in Baton Rouge at LSU while he was still in school there. And I went down and had my stuff, and we started printing covers. We did these silkscreen covers for that. It turned out really nice. I had them at the, I had them at a convention afterwards, and like it turned out that I guess there were some other cartoons. I think it was Rob Ullman or somebody who had like a really similar cover because it was like a meal ticket, like from a restaurant, you know. So I had printed the same colors and everything. Anyway, it looked similar, but the ones we did turned out really nice, and those are like I don't even have like any of those originals anymore. It's weird. Like I don't even know where some of that artwork is, but those are the early strips that are more, they're somewhat autobiographical, but they're more trying to like, I was just trying to kind of figure out what I was doing as a comic strip, you know, at the time. So, but that started in like 2002, and then I did it until 2005, and just in one paper. And then the service industry, the version you're talking about is one long, you know, extended narrative thing that like ran, that was like this, that was like pretty much the end of the last year of the strip.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to like go off and try to do something a little more, I don't know, I wanted to do something more autobiographical, more expansive, more ambitious, you know. And I really thought I was going to end up with a longer story, but then, you know, when it was finished, I was like, all right, I kind of, you know, I got to the end of what I was trying to say, and it was like this weird panic took over too. Like I was like, "Whoa, it's over and it's finished." But I was completely panicked, and I had to go to work, and I was freaking out because I was like, I knew it was done. It was such a weird moment. But
well, it's really neat because it seems like you're. I mean, one reason of the panic is you're exploring a lot of personal issues with it that you kind of didn't let rise up before.
Yeah. I mean, it was partially that, but it was also like this release, you know, this like, I mean, it was just such a, it was a release that, you know, I had kind of examined these things and that they were going to be out there in the world. And, you know, it was, I mean, in retrospect, you know, I don't know if it was the greatest, you know, thing for me to like kind of divulge all this personal information and stuff. But, you know, I mean, what am I going to do now? You know, it's like, you know, I'm the kind of person that like will, I've burned notebooks and drawings and sketchbooks and stuff before. I've just thrown them into a bonfire, you know, and I regularly just kind of like destroy art if I'm not happy or if I want to get past it. So it's like, that way it's like gone. I don't have to deal with it. The same kind of feeling that I had. I was like almost a little regret, but then it was like, wow, I'm glad it's kind of done and out there and over. You know what I mean? So
it's closure. Bring it up,
yeah,
and closing,
yeah,
it real quick.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. And like, you know, some people actually read it. Some people actually liked it. So, you know,
I personally found it actually pretty powerful that it seemed like it wasn't a comfortable strip to do.
Yeah, definitely a challenge because I was, like I said, I was figuring out what I was doing while I was working on it. So, I miss doing that sometimes. I miss having like a deadline like that. But I mean, I have other deadlines now I have to worry about. So. But I mean, it was a lot. It was a really good experience for me to have that kind of stuff to work on. And it was, you know, I mean, I am not so, I don't know, like autobiographical stuff. I'm very skeptical about that kind of work now. But I'm critical more or less than skeptical. I guess I stay away from it now. Mm-hmm. I think, I try to, you know, indulge my own ideas through other approaches in the work rather than doing a directly autobiographical story. I'm not saying I would never do it again. It's just the time right now. It's not right for me. So,
well, it seems now you're more dealing with themes than people.
Yeah,
I mean the big one would be your feelings of war.
Yeah, I did. I did want to examine that stuff with the Drawn Quarterly stuff.
And that was something that was also touched on a bit in service industry as well.
I had a strong anti-war sentiment, you know, obviously, and was, you know, and remain, you know, opposed to that, you know, to military engagement, you know, and stuff. And, you know, it's irresponsible. I mean, what we've seen has been very irresponsible, in my opinion, but I don't know. I'm at the point now where I don't think about that stuff as much. I feel like my feelings on it I've expressed, and you know, I still maintain them. It's interesting, you know, just right before you called, I was having a conversation online, a chat with a friend of mine who just returned from Palestine. She's been she was filming some footage there, and I'm going to see her next week in New Orleans. We're old friends. I'm like, wow, you know, what was it like? You know, I want to know, like, did you get shot at? You know, it's like, you know, I mean, it's such a tumultuous, you know, zone. But at the same time, like, she really gave me this impression that it's, you know, there's life just going on in the undercurrent that, you know, beyond what's happening there too all the time. So
there's more than we can understand.
Right. I mean, it always. Yeah.
Tell me about your voyages you've gone on recently.
Voyages.
Your National Geographic journey. I find
you're talking about last year working on the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
I took a contract position on a boat, a ship in Alaska, in the Inside Passage of Southeast Alaska, and this was a small, like, National Geographic natural history tour ship. It wasn't a research vessel, but we did have, like, it's interesting, though, because we had, like, presentations by, like, OSU marine mammal research people came on board and had a lot of National Geographic photographers. It was like, it was mainly like a photographic expedition for people, you know. We had like some, you know, we had a whale researcher who came on and was doing work, you know, while she was actually driving Zodiacs around and stuff. And it was a phenomenal experience. My contract was 6 months. I got on, like, I think Monday would be a year ago Monday. This coming Monday would be like a year that would be like, you know, it was a year ago. So my life has changed drastically. I went up there and was just trying, I just wanted to, the idea was to save some money, come back and work on this hotel project and maybe some other comics, and to get inspired to go somewhere that I had never been. And, you know, with the experience and, like, you know, the idea of, like, you know, I was still kind of playing around with this whole service industry thing was in the back of my mind, because I took a job as a steward, which was a passenger services position. You know, I didn't have anything to do with the actual ship operations. I would love to go back and do that. I don't know if I have an opportunity to do that now, but we'll see. I haven't completely ruled it out. I ended up, you know, working on this ship like for 6 months, and the work wasn't the thing that got to me. The work was almost like just the work that I was doing just had nothing to do with anything, because I had never been anywhere so beautiful, like so just pristine, natural place, like, ever in my life. I'd never seen anything like this before. I grew up in Colorado, so I was in the mountains all the time when I was a kid, but this was just completely different. I mean, it was just phenomenal, and there's mountains everywhere, and just like the water, being on the water. I lived on the ship. I lived like up in the, you know, underneath, you know, in the we lived in this part called the Forecastle, which is it's like decks below. And, you know, I was in a small, like, you know, cabin for months with like 3-4 other people at a time. And, you know, at first, you know, it was like, man, you know, how am I going to deal with this? Like, being so cramped up with people. But I mean, you know, a couple weeks are gone and you're like, you know, you're getting up early for breakfast so you can watch the humpback whales breaching, and it's like, you don't think about shit like that. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh my God, well, you know, I got to get out. So there's bears on the port side. There's, you know, whales on, you know, starboard. So it's like, you got to like, I don't know. You got to have an appreciation for that stuff too. Cause some of the people I was working with were just like, eh, whales again. And I was like, are you fucking serious? Out the window, you know? I mean, I couldn't get over it. Like every single day I was like, dumbstruck every fucking day. I was like, oh my fucking God. You know, there's sea lions out here. We're going to go see sea lions. Every chance I got to get off the ship, I would go kayaking or I'd go hiking on bear trails with other people. You know, you couldn't go anywhere by yourself. Mm-hmm. Until when we were in Mexico, you could go hike on your own, but, which we didn't happen till later. But anyhow, so yeah, I mean, like sea lions, and, you know, the first time I saw stellar sea lions, it blew my mind. You know, it blew my mind. I had only seen like fur seals in the zoo before, and these were like, you know, we'd seen some seals out in the, you know, Glacier Bay and stuff out in the, you know, floating around, and but I'd seen the sea lions all hauled out, these huge, like massive animals. You know what I'm talking about? They're just massive. These are all bulls. They're hauled out on this rock, you know, hundreds of them, and they chase us around, you know, on the boat, on the little boat. We're like in a little Zodiac, you know, cruising around to check them out, and just phenomenal. I went out and had a very close encounter with some sea lions on my own when I was kayaking in Glacier Bay, and I just got the shit scared out of me. I was like, I'm going out on my own today, and everybody's like, yeah, you can do it, go do it. I was like, hell yeah, hell yeah. You know, I was like, I'll face nature, you know, I'll conquer my fear. And, you know, I really had that idea. I really had this ridiculous idea that I was going to go out and, like, face my fear and everything and, like, be cool and, like, come back and be like, yeah, fuck it, yeah, you know. And I fucking paddled out there, and I almost went too far, like, at one point, and I'm like, I got a tide chart. I'm looking at the compass. I'm, like, trying to pay attention to the tides. Not a compass, sorry. I had a map of these little islands where I went out and about, and this is ridiculous. I had this very close encounter with some animals that got very close, and, like, these sea lions, something, like, came up out of the water and, like, just kind of, like, just saw the back of it, and this thing was huge. It was as long as a kayak, you know? And meanwhile, there's whales off in the distance, and, like, I'm just like, oh, you know, as soon as I saw that, I just, like, turned around, I, like, sped back, and I was scared shitless. But when I, you know, I was exhausted, I collapsed back on the wharf, and I got up, and, like, a couple days later, I realized, like, my entire perspective, like, had changed. My entire idea, like, you know, I don't know, it sounds cheesy or, like, I don't know, typical or what, I don't know if it sounds cliched, but my experience, like, or my idea of the wilderness just was transformed, and my idea about my place in it too was completely transformed. Like, I'm completely meaningless. Like, I do not, like, told, like, the nature is completely indifferent, and, like, it, the world does not give a shit, man. It's like, you know, if there, you know, in this, like, living in a civilization and city and stuff, it's different, but sort of, you know, but otherwise it's, you know, it's just, I don't know, it just blew my mind, you know. It's like, yeah, you can read that stuff, but this just kind of, like, drove it home for me. So anyhow, sorry, I just blabbed about that stuff. But nevertheless, what really happened was that I began, you know, looking into the life of this naturalist who I became interested in, and at the time with the stellar sea lions are named after this guy, Georg Steller. And so I started doing some research. I started reading, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do a little one-page mini comic thing, like, based on this guy, you know? And I started reading more and more and more, and now I'm just completely obsessed, and I read as much as I can. I'm working on it right now, actually, but I'm just working on a graphic novel sort of biography about this guy and his experience, his journey from, St. Petersburg, you know, through Siberia, Kamchatka. I don't want to say too much about it because it's a lot of fun. I love doing the research, but I'm trying to, like, work a lot of ideas into it as well. Just, I don't know, it's a kind of a big project, but I'm really into it, and it's really, like, just as a direct result of everything that happened last year, and I'm like, whoa, it kind of reawakened my whole idea about, you know, what is possible with my art, too, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was transformative, you know. It's very good, you know.
Well, this
I can't wait to get back to Alaska. I'm trying to get back there this summer. He was this naturalist was ashore on this small island called Kayak Island, which is where he went ashore, actually. He was with the Russians that discovered Alaska in 1741, and he went ashore this little island, Kayak Island, southeast Alaska, and he was there for 10 hours. But right now the island's uninhabited, and the Navy put up a, U.S. Navy, sorry, put a lighthouse up there, and I think it was 1914 or 15, and it's been automated since, like, the early 70s. So, like, the island's uninhabited. You know, the Tlingit people who were living there were driven off by smallpox, like, in the 1800s, I
yeah.
think. So now it's open. Like, you can go and, like, you can go stay at the bunkhouse there next to the lighthouse. So I'm trying to take a... I'm trying to get on a float. I'm gonna have to charter a float plane out from Cordova at some point and like fly out there and like just do. I just want to do field drawings like around the island to have a real sense of it. And anyhow, so part of the plan for the summer for me is to get back up there for a few days at least. Hopefully, I can take the ferry up because that is a that's beautiful. That whole route up. They go. There's a ferry. The Alaska State Ferry goes up from like Bellingham to Juneau and Sitka and stuff.
Oh, wow. That must be like
I think they go up a
week.
Higher too, further up north, maybe to Whittier. Yeah, they do go to Whittier, sorry.
How long does that take?
It's like 3 or 4 days, I think.
Yeah.
But you can camp out on deck, which is what I'm going to do. Because I don't know, I don't think I want to get a cabin. I think I want to camp out. Because in the summer, it's not so cold at night, obviously.
Yeah, but, I mean, we have ferries here that go... just back and forth from Vancouver to the Vancouver Island. And even yeah. Sitting out in the summer on the deck, it can get pretty windy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it can. I'm going to try it. We'll see.
And you're going to be...
If I get too cold, maybe I'll go inside, you know?
Because you're going to be on some open ocean. Like, it's not going to be... Like, we're pretty secluded going through the Georgia Strait. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the area at all.
Yeah, we went... I think we kind of went... Well, where did we go through? We were like, we went through like Prince Rupert. So we did go through some open ocean a little bit after, past that, come down San Juan, like okay. Islands to go to Seattle and stuff.
Yeah. So you probably went through the strait, like along by, Denman Island, Hornby Island. Any of those sound familiar?
I don't know. We went through Misty Fjords though.
Wow, I don't even know where that is.
It's really eerie.
It's
just as eerie as it sounds. It's cool.
It's pretty neat. Really nice. Like when you get out, like Vancouver's pretty metropolis, like, you know, like very similar to Portland. Probably more tall buildings. But when you get outside of Vancouver, you start getting on the island in the north, it's really unpopulated in a lot of spots. Really minimal amount of people there. And so we still have some wilderness. Still have a fair amount
awesome.
Up here.
You know what I want to see that I never got to see was Victoria. Like, that just sounds and looks beautiful.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
You never hear anybody talking about it. So I'm like,
it's
wow.
It's kind of like a retirement. It's like they call it for the newlywed and nearly dead. it's the kind of the catchphrase for Victoria. Like, it's a really nice, really beautiful town.
Yeah.
But you're not going to spend a lot of time there.
Right.
It's like, all right, everything's closed to 10.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, I mean, but if you want to see stuff, like you want to get outside of town and see like beaches and just where hippies used to live, Victoria is like a good central spot to go.
Where did you live? Did you grow up there?
I grew up north of Victoria in a little town called Cumberland in Comox and Courtney. It's in the Comox Valley area, which is north of Nanaimo. I lived there till about 10, and then I moved to Vancouver, and I've been a city boy since then. But, like, my brother lives in just west of Victoria in a town called Souk.
So you grew up in, or you, like, basically, like, grew up in Vancouver then?
Yeah.
Like, after that. And did you go to school, and you went to school in Vancouver, or did you go away and then come back? Or?
No, I'm a Vancouver boy.
Yeah.
20 years here. More than 20. I'm really bad at going anywhere. I'm probably the opposite of you.
No, I spent a good part of my life growing up in Denver, and like, you know, I love the fact, you know, I can go and see my family there, but I, you know, Denver just, I don't know, the charm wore off when I was pretty young, so.
Well, it seems like you love to travel. You love to just, like, live in different spots and live different experiences.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's fun to, like, get around.
Is that part of the reason you went and did the fellowship at the school, the cartooning school, the CCS?
Yeah, I had always kind of envisioned, you know, I had this like romantic idea of Vermont, which actually is, you know, it's really beautiful up there. Like I was like, man, I hope I'm not going to be disappointed by the fall and stuff. And I was not at all. I mean, it was amazing. And winter too. Like I hadn't lived in Denver. I think I moved out of Denver in like 94 and, hadn't been in a winter since then until, you know, this last, till, you know, 2007 when I was in Vermont, and man, it was phenomenal. I was like, holy, I hadn't been around snow and like blizzard snow and like huge, you know, drift. And I was really living in a really fortunate place because where I had to walk, I worked part time at this little publisher, and I worked, you know, went to the school and would do, you know, whatever. I'd do my work at the school. And, I had the little co-op where I volunteered at this food co-op that was next to the building where the publisher I worked in. And so it was like I had this little triangle where I could just basically stay in, and like, you know, occasionally I'd take the bus to over to Hanover to use that. We had access to the Dartmouth Library, which was great. You know, Orozco, you know, murals and stuff there. But so I'd go there, and like, you know, they've got, it's just a phenomenal library to have access to. But otherwise, I would stay in this little triangle, you know, area of White River Junction that enabled me to just, you know, I didn't have to worry about the snow, and I just walked everywhere, you know. So, like, even walking in the snow, it was just phenomenal. I loved it. It was beautiful.
Very beautiful. It must be good as far as, like,
sweet little town, too.
Being able to get shit done. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, you're not going out, you know. You're doing what you have to do, and then you're home.
But, right, exactly. I just cranked away. I was basically working out a lot of ideas while I was there. And, you know, I had probably, I was definitely having some, I was going through a period where things were not easy for me. And I had, like, kind of gotten a big head about, you know, Fantagraphics invitation and, you know, drawing a quarterly thing. And I think, you know, I think I alienated a lot of my friends, you know, because I alienated people a little bit. And, there were some people who were really fed up with me, like friends who are now like, I'm very fortunate in all my friendships. You know, everybody's been very forgiving towards me always. And, you know, I'm very, you know, most people, and, you know, if you haven't been, then, you know, that's fine, you know, but, I went there kind of with, I don't know, my idea of myself was kind of fucked up, you know, when I went to Vermont, and I stayed in a weird mind frame and just tried to work out my personal stuff while I was actually trying to develop, you know, ideas that I was working on. And, you know, it was a tough year for me, but it was also like, it was really good too. It was a really, really good, ultimately it was a really good experience in the end. So I managed to get some good ideas worked out, and hopefully we'll see, you know, a book. I'd like to do a book based on the kinds of hotel ideas that I was developing and still work on too. So, but right now I'm focused on the Stellar project, which, you know, culminated as a result of, you know, after I'd gotten back from CCS and kind of like gotten back to Portland, I was like, you know, what am I going to do now? And like, well, I just came from this really tiny little isolated place. Why don't I go to an even smaller sphere and implode? No, I didn't. But I did, when I did get back from Vermont, I was back in Portland for just very briefly before I went back and went back out and got on the ship and did that. So.
And now you're back in the land of ports.
Now I'm back in Portland and yeah, and just staying busy. And yeah, now I don't know, like I have to go to New Orleans Sunday, and like my mom's moving back to Colorado. She's moving back to Denver. She wants to be near her family and stuff, you know. Her family's from Southern Colorado, but they all live in Denver now. So I'm going to go help her pack up the house in Denver and fly back to Denver on the 4th of July and then hang out for a couple days, catch up with my family, and then come back up here. I'm hoping to maybe take a pit stop in Sacramento and get down to the Bay Area for a day or two and see Ben and maybe Vanessa and Trevor and stuff. So,
all wonderful, talented cartoonists. I love Trevor and Vanessa's work.
Yeah,
Trevor Alexopoulos
amazing,
and Vanessa Davis, I should say.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about the Stellar story, which is in the new MOME, just so people know where they can check it out, because that should be out soon. I'm curious, all your work now seems to be white on black, as far as coloring.
Okay.
Is that a specific... No? No?
No, there's some work in the
Drawn and Quarterly
thing, and in the Drawn and Quarterly thing, it's where it's like kind of inverted, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that stuff exclusively. That's always going to be kind of a part of how I'm working. But it's not all exclusively like that.
It's just whatever.
Does it look like that? Are you looking at the MOME?
I'm looking at the MOME, and I was just... It's used a lot, but, I mean, it's not... You're right. It's not exclusive.
Did you get the... How did you get the MOME?
I got it sent to me.
Oh, okay. I'm like, if it's out, they got to pay me now.
Oops. It's an advanced copy.
I got one of those.
Yay!
I gave it to my intern.
An intern? You're like Kramer.
I got an intern. She's phenomenal. Her name is Virginia Payne. She's a budding cartoonist. We met here at IPRC, which is Independent Publishing Resource Center in Portland. They also, I wanted to let people know that that's actually it's in Portland, and I think most people know, if they know about self-publishing, they've probably heard about the Independent Publishing Resource Center. But I mentioned to Justin, the director, that I would... talk a little bit, or mention at least that they're beginning a new program, which is like a creative writing and new media and comics certificate program that is going to be offered. And Jesse Requa, who's the cartoonist for Slow Wave, is actually going to be one of the people involved, as well as Nicole Georges, and who's a self-publishing queen in her own right, and other people, including Dylan and myself, at some point we'll probably do a workshop. I'll do a workshop. Dylan will be more involved than I am, but and Justin Hawking, who's the director, will be teaching some creative writing classes too. So yeah, but it's a track that they're offering now as a program for through the IPRC. So I guess it's beginning in the fall. So.
Sounds it'd be interesting. Jesse is really quite a smart guy, and I'm always curious.
Yeah, he's very dynamic.
It's and don't forget about his strip, 10,000 Things to Do.
Right, the autobiographical, right.
Which are all fantastic. So the main things you got coming out is the Stellar story, and then you've got some other stuff you're working on too, or?
I am working on Stellar, and right now that's it. Like I'm writing stuff for the hotel project, but I haven't actually spent any time doing the drawings lately. I did a few drawings that are based on some of the characters' dreams a few weeks ago. But
what's the hotel project?
The hotel project is hopefully that's going to be at least one book, but hopefully a series. I'd like to do a series, which is the idea is it's a fictional hotel called the Hotel Ticonderoga, which has its own kind of history and everything that is going to be part of the work. But it's also kind of the lives of the people who live and work in the hotel, and like some people come and go, some people are always around. It's kind of like it's more of a fictional service industry kind of idea, but involving like a cast, like a vast cast, which I've always wanted to have, So I when I was in CCS, I started kind of writing these biographies, and it just flowed right out. Like it just wrote itself. And whenever I work on it, it really does. It just kind of like, bam, it's there. So I'm kind of letting all that stuff gestate while I'm working on the Stellar stuff and working on it sporadically, going back and forth and developing new ideas for it. And, if you're interested in looking at that stuff, it's all on a blog. Like there's comics and like.
Oh, I tried going to the blog and it wouldn't let me. The Last Hotel.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I can, You have to ask me, and I'll. You have to ask me, and I'll invite you to read it.
Okay.
Because it's kind of. I'll send you a thing and I invite you so you can get on there. But anyone else who's interested can email me at my email tedwardbach@gmail.com to if they're interested in reading what's up there so far. So.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Mr.
Sure.
Bach.
Is that 40 minutes?
Yeah. I've got to play a song and get out of here for the next show.
Man, that just flew by.
It did.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate you giving my ego a chance.
a little stroke
chip
for the
away
day
at itself. Hopefully that'll work. So.
Well, I'm really curious to see what you do with the Stellar Store, and I really enjoyed the strips I could find on National Geographic site of your journey.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much, Robin.
So much good stuff. Thank you so much, Todd.
All right, take care now.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So that was Todd Bach, and earlier I had Noah Van Sciver on, and both of them have stories in the new MOM, as well as a bunch of other stuff. I'll have links to all their things on the website inkstuds.com, www.inkstuds.com. I'll be honest, I don't know who's going to be on next week. I'm a little scatterbrained lately. I don't know if you can tell. We'll have, it'll be a good show, whatever it is. I'm excited. I hope you're excited too. Stay tuned for the French Connection.
AMS Connect is a brand new service that offers a variety of ways for you to get connected to your campus, your city, and your world. We provide online listings of local volunteer opportunities and internship placements that allow you to gain valuable job experience and explore your passions outside of the classroom. The Connect office also facilitates volunteer placements abroad. Do stuff, get involved. For more information, call 604-822-9268, or you can go to their website at www.ams.ubc.ca/vex.
I might catch some perch.
Connection avec Marie-Ève Dumoulin pour tout savoir sur les activités culturelles francophones de Vancouver et ses environs, plus de la musique 100% francophone du Québec et d'ailleurs. With French Connection, you will discover everything about the French culture on CITR 101.9 FM.
There is more money in my pocket.
Joanna comme maintenant, mais mon village ne peut me joindre. Ça c'est un grand plaisir, quand je reçois un appel de mon mapoubi. Joanna comme maintenant, tous les gens sont connectés dans le monde. Ça pipite partout, et le plus souvent ça ne peut que d'ailleurs.